We are now recording, Dane. What's good, man? My G?
Not much, man. Trying to find my notes.
Pull up the notes. Pull up the notes. This is episode 44.
How have you been, Deontay?
I have been well, my guy. Just joined the 3-0 club, the big 3-0. I am here. I have stepped through the door. 30 years old, man.
This is your birthday. Welcome to the 30s. This is the land of no more birthdays. You simply moving forward. You celebrate another year of life without a number attached to it. At this point, it doesn't even matter. Just thankful. Just be thankful that you only have a crook in one side of your neck and possible slight ACL tear in one of your knees. Okay? So just be thankful of that.
But you're welcome. Right. You're
this,
right.
And this is 30.
And this is the 30s. It was funny because Karina was like, you know, it's your birthday, blah, blah, blah. I was like, it's just another day. I already started doing it, bro. It's just another day.
There you go. Yeah,
but welcome to episode 44 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. My name is Deontay Epps, joined by my best friend, co-host Dane Beasley. And we are back for another episode. On deck for you guys for episode 44. We're going to talk a little bit about the NCAA president, Mark Emmert, finally making a decision about NILs. And we're trying to see where his, you know, what he's thinking. What is he really up to?
Look, I know that there is, for the sake of this conversation, I know there is much, there are plenty of moving parts that goes into a decision like that. But for the sake of just saying something that's very ignorant, why the hell does this man have all the power in the world?
And just got re-signed to another contract. We'll get into it. We'll go down the rundown.
That's a dangerous man.
General Homeboy returns with his sidekick, Player Personnel. That's me. And we're going to talk about four guys to watch in the upcoming college football season. And we're going to talk DK Metcalf running, you know, trying to qualify for the Olympics. That's pretty impressive what he accomplished this past weekend. And then a part of our nerdy news segment, we're going to talk about theatrical deal with five major studios as far as the theatrical windows coming up. So that'll be kind of interesting. The Venom 2 trailer dropped today and PS5 shortage looks like it's going on to 2022. So if you ain't got one like us, sucks for you.
Wait a minute. The Venom trailer dropped? Or is it dropped
Venom 2.
Tomorrow or today?
It dropped this morning.
Oh wow!
So Dane has not watched the trailer, and you guys can laugh at that while we start the show.
You are now listening to the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. Here are your hosts, Deontay Epps and Dane Beasley.
Did you watch the trailer yet?
So you, first of all, what you're not going to do is quote unquote hang up on me or put me on mute while I'm trying to explain myself. So like
I really hit you with the, like, I hit you with the intro.
Hit me with the beatbox. Anywho, like millions of other Americans in this world, your boy was out here working. And not working, but working hard. So, of course, there's a, you know, a few opportunities throughout the day, just like any other normal functioning adult with no life. I get on social media a few times a day during the workout. Today, for some odd reason, I guess every time I check Twitter, nothing was on, you know, nothing was popping, as they say, or trending. But maybe most of the time I spent today in like my little 5 minutes of social media was on Facebook. But shout out to Troy and Tyree for,
congratulations.
That was beautiful.
Yes.
My boy beautiful. Troy with the, beautiful. That boy with the words, man. Like, he's always had a way with words, but that mug was beautiful. So shout out to,
most definitely.
But, I didn't like today was, obviously I was out Thursday and Friday from work. Langston, of course, was my son. For those of you who don't know his name's Langston. Gave him a plain extra name. Anywho, his first week of daycare was last week. And, of course, we knew it was going to happen, but we didn't know it was going to be this early. But he ended up getting sick. from the daycare, which is, you know, these things happen. We need him to build up his immunity anyways. And so he got sick that Wednesday. And then, of course, I took off Thursday, and I had already planned on taking off Friday, but it all worked out. Just nurse him and get him better. But meanwhile, while he's getting better, he passed it on to me and his mom. So we both out here sounding like Chucky from Rugrats, and just it's all bad. But, you know, we here, thankful to be here. And more than anything, now I get something to look forward to after this podcast to watch this trailer. So shout out to everybody. Yeah. Everybody's listening right now. You've all seen the trailer before I did. So shout out to y'all. Well,
yeah, later on in the podcast, we'll talk a little bit about how I felt about the trailer.
So we're still going to talk about it, even though I ain't seen it. All right.
Keep going, host. I am the perfect host.
Yeah, this man does. You better not edit none of this out of the damn podcast. I'll leave it all in. Well, I'm sending 10,000 people to send a dollar request from your Cash App, player.
Partner. But this weekend, man, your Sam Houston State Bearcats, you got the hoodie on, man. Y'all going to the national championship. Let me ask you one question, because I turned the game on when they were down 24-3, I believe, in the third quarter. Was there any doubt that you guys were going to come back and, you know, get back on top and finish the job?
So I was actually out and about for the first two quarters, but I was listening to the game on my ESPN app. I was driving most of the time. My wife didn't know this, but I had my AirPod in my left ear since I was driving, and I had the game playing on the phone. I'm trying to, you know, handle two conversations at one time. But anyways, like I said, I'm the man in this house. I listened to the first two quarters of the game, and at some point I had to stop because I was obviously losing control of being able to listen, selective listening by that means. So I cut off the game, and when I got back to the house, the score was 24-10. We were down 14. I was like, dang. And I was like, all right, I'm going to put this. We're out, because we were getting a bunch of stuff when we're out. And part of the things we were getting was this little piece that goes to my son's crib. So now he's going from like a natural crib, and we're taking one of the sides off the crib, and there's like a rail. So when he rolls over, he doesn't roll out the bed. I was going to put that on. And in my head, for some reason, I said it's going to take 5 minutes. It took 45 minutes. By that time, the game was already over with. DeMarc, shout out to DeMarc. He texted me and said, hey, dang. So I take it. Let me read to you exactly what he said.
Do it.
Which there is no way for me to tell what the results of the game was based on what he said, but I'm going to read it.
Kept it so neutral.
Yeah. So he was like, he had the stale face, the little, you know, the emoji with the dot eyes and then like the little slant mouth. He's like,
yeah,
extra quiet, bro, ham, .. And I was like, oh, damn, we lost. No, they came in our house and kicked our teeth in. And I was like, missed the third or fourth quarter because I was fixing Langston's bed, upside down smiley face. Damn it. What happened? And then I said, .. And I couldn't wait. I seen the little bubbles, and, you know, he was texting. I can't hold it. I went in, I checked it, and the first thing I seen was the bolded, you know, of course they bolded the team that won, and they said SHSU. And I was like, yes! I have no idea how we pulled it out, but we came back from behind, and I was there the whole time. I missed everything. So he put me on to – I didn't know this was a thing, but apparently I've been living in, like, two decades ago. But apparently you can go on ESPN app, and you can watch games that have already been played. I had no idea. I am so sorry to everyone that's already been knowing about this technology, but I did not know. Maybe I'm old. Anyways, I watched the last two quarters of the game, and it was brilliant. Hats off to those young Bearcats. Despite those horrible odds of being down by multiple possessions and when all hope seemed lost, they banded together and stayed in the foxhole, and they pulled out the dub. Shout out to the defense, number one. Shout out to the special teams, number two. And shout out to the offense, number three. And shout out to the whole team, number four. Bam. So that leads us to Frisco. Again, this is the third time.
Who'd you play the last two times?
The last two times.
North Dakota State.
Yeah, North Dakota State. And this time we play on the south side. So
yeah,
see, hopefully it's different results. Yeah, hopefully it's different results. But those guys, hell of a, like, we've had some pretty talented young men that come through the university, and proud to be you know, proud to be a part of it in some way, shape, or form. But credit to all those athletes, or as my some of my kin folks say, athletes. they throw a U and an H in
we
there.
We some athletes.
We some athletes. So shout out to the Bearcats. No,
yeah, for sure, man.
And SHSU Nation for holding it down.
Yeah, I watched the second half of the game, and from what I've seen from the highlights, it's a completely different game from the first half. Like, all the momentum was on Sam's side. It took one play after another, one touchdown to get them, like,
5 minutes.
Okay.
Within five minutes, it was like,
who's the number 12? Who's the number 12 cat that took the punt return back then scored that slant and go? But he helped change the momentum for the whole squad.
Dude got the legs on him, man.
Yeah,
he's chopping. When they showed that alternate view of the touchdown, like, okay, I see that, but how the hell did he see that over there? Because he was like,
Yeah, but congrats to Sam Houston. Let's give those guys an applause. And on Sunday, the game's Sunday at 1 in Frisco, Texas, against the South Dakota State Jackrabbits. It's going to be a tough one, but, you know, maybe third time's a charm, my guy, for you guys.
Yeah, we're going to see. And we need you to watch, too, because apparently, according to DeMar, shout out to DeMar, and, of course, Brody, shout out to my boy Brody.
Yeah, Brody as well.
Of course, all of us are Sam Houston alumni.
Yeah.
So,
Malcolm
is the person looking at his crystal ball, his sports crystal ball. He came to the epic conclusion that it was actually you. Deontay Lejean Epps is responsible for us turning the tides and coming back.
Hey, man,
in such a victorious
way. I didn't want to take the credit for it. I'm humble over here. I'm 30 now, you know.
Oh,
yeah. Shout out to DeMarra, too. That boy gave me $30 for my birthday. 30 for 30. Shout out to him, man.
They don't make real ones like that anymore, man.
They don't. They really don't, man.
They don't.
On to NCAA President Mark Emmert.
Mark,
he finally got his contract, got re-signed just a few weeks ago. So now he's trying to play it safe, or whatever you may call it. This article is from Yahoo Sports. It states that NCAA Mark Emmert says athletes should be able to make money starting in 2021. Articles from Nick Bromberg. It says, is the NCAA finally ready to change its rules that prevent college athletes from getting endorsements? As states across the country are set to implement laws this summer allowing college athletes to make money off their image rights, NCAA President Mark Emmert told the New York Times on Friday that he wants the governing body to officially allow athletes to make sponsor and endorsement money before those various state laws take effect. In an interview with the New York Times on Friday, he said he would recommend the college sports governing bodies approve new rules before or as close to July 1st. And then Dane, Georgia put in a law recently for NIL, their NIL athletes. But I was kind of reading into it, and I did have the article up somewhere. Here it is. What I don't like about the Georgia NIL law, they are allowing, they're taking, all right, for example, if I'm an athlete at University of Georgia and I do a commercial for a local dealership for $10,000, the NCAA will take 75% of my $10,000 from that deal that I had with the car dealership, and they're putting it into a pool of not just my money, but a pool of all the athletes in the state of Georgia's money. And then when I graduate, everybody gets dispersed that endorsement money, not just me. So I was listening to a Bomani Jones podcast this week, and he was talking about it. And I kind of agree with, like, it seems like it's just another way to curtail. I mean, we're going to give you what you want per se, but we're going to adjust it so that it still benefits us, where we don't have to give you everything at that particular moment. Anything that stands out to you about what Mark Emmert said or the Georgia NIL law?
Oh yeah. I mean, there's always a, but there's always a, but
yeah,
always. Anytime you're dealing with a particular kind of old, rich, entitled, out of touch men,
white men,
white white man, anytime you're dealing with these guys like that, there's always going to be contingencies. There's always going to be some red tape. There's always going to be some. Now, all you got to do is pull yourself up by your bootstraps and graduate, and you'll get a. I'll give you a little something, something for your troubles. By then, what's the incentive to graduate? No, never mind. I'm not going to go there yet. But anywho, yet another hurdle for the athletes to reap the benefits of which they don't get to. No, they don't get to reap the benefits immediately. Let me ask you this, Deontay.
Yeah.
Advertising money. Those, I don't know, advances and contracts that these big name universities get for, I don't know, being in a bowl game. You think they have to wait a few months, maybe 4 years, to get that money? You think they have to wait to upgrade their weight rooms and upgrade these nice fat coaching contracts and things like that? Do you think they have to wait for that? Or do you think that's kind of, I don't know, instant?
I don't think they have to wait for that, Dane. I think they get that money, if not in a month's time, maybe weeks.
Interesting. Okay.
Very curious. Interesting.
It just reminds me of, it's just like your bank or any type of bank. When you pay for something, you need to pay for it before you leave the store immediately. But if you're trying to get a refund, that joint's going to take, your money will be credited back to your account within 7 to 10 business days, or 3 to 5 weeks at the worst. Yeah.
Right.
And we're going to slap a $2 charge on there, a service charge on there. Like, how you going to tax me on something that I, like, how you going to tax me on something? Anyways.
Yeah, and even in general, just like in life, like when you, like you see somebody else doing something that's benefiting them, like, hey man, let me, I want to try that.
Yeah.
And then right when you try it, the things change, the tables turn, like everybody can benefit from it but me.
Ain't, like I said last week, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun.
Yeah.
Ain't no fun, but you know, they can call it what they want, a step in the right direction, but this is nothing. This is nothing that no one else didn't, you know, already see coming. There's always a contingent. And of course, it's Georgia of all places that comes with something stupid like that. But, you know, it is what it is.
I mean, the NCAA had delayed this particular vote for, and the people that don't know what NIL stands for, is the name, image, and likeness for players to get paid while in college. So for us video game heads, that kind of goes with our old NCAA football video game that we are craving for. And I'm sure the EA Sports people are definitely looking closely at what's going on, because when they announced the game a few months ago, there was a lot of talk about whether or not they would have the names of the players on there. And maybe if whatever goes through the course at this time, like when we talk with Brian Mazik from Forbes, whatever happens with the courts within these next few years, as far as the NIL laws are concerned, maybe we can possibly see names on the jerseys of players in that game. So it's interesting to see. Yeah, but are you ready for it? Oh, wait, while you're listening, we have your ears here. I forgot to tell you guys, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating, please, and a nice review, and it'll help us get our podcast to a lot of ears out there. So we appreciate that. Now,
it's time for General
General Homeboy and his sidekick, Player Personnel. We are here. We're going to talk about four guys, Dane. You know, the draft just ended a week ago or so, and, you know, we have some more prospects coming next season. So we're going to talk about a few guys here that could pop up on some draft boards coming next draft season.
Yeah. A few guys that everyone here, if you're listening, probably should pay attention to. I know we're probably getting ahead of ourselves. Like, dang, Deontay, we still have a lot of professional sports that are going on. We have baseball. We have basketball. We have the Olympic trials coming up soon. Why are you guys jumping the gun and talking about football still? Well, we're about to enter one of the darkest times in the year, and that's when there is no football, technically no professional football. And everybody who's everybody knows that we squeeze and take any type of football coverage that we can. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and get this thing crack-a-lacking. My first guy, the first guy that I want to bring attention to is none other than a safety. Why safety? Because I know in my wildest dreams, the Dallas Cowboys will never in their life draft a safety with a high pick. And why I say a high pick? Well, for two reasons. One, Cowboys, more than likely, we're going to finish somewhere between pick number one and pick number 17, just my guess. And then two, more than likely, this young man is going in the first round, top of the first round. I'm talking about none other than Kyle Hamilton.
I've seen him in safety, a few draft boards. He's
a Swiss Army knife. Man can do it all. So let me tell you about this guy. The issue, anybody who's ever watched a game, watched highlights, or just watched film, period, from the first snap to the last snap, you always run across, or there's you will consistently run across one guy, right? You're there to watch one particular guy. But then as you're watching one guy, you notice some other guy on the field. It's like, man, what about that guy? What about him? Well, that's the very thing that I was thinking. When I was looking at, I was looking at Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. And of course, it led me down a rabbit hole looking at other defenders in that particular region. And of course, I came across Kyle Hamilton. And of course, he's a ball hawk. He always finds himself around the ball, which to me, I need somebody like that on my defense. But in my wildest dreams, I know the Dallas Cowboys do not prioritize safeties, and we don't prioritize defensive tackles. So that's not going to happen. But there's going to be there's going to be one lucky team out there that has a need at safety, that thinks outside the box and knows how to build a defense, of course, in the trenches, but also on the back end with those playmakers. And so he will not find his way in Dallas, but more than likely probably in the division somewhere, because, you know, other teams, they draft for, you know, positional value like that. Anywho, Deontay, who's your guy? Who's your first guy?
My first guy is coming out of the University of Clemson. My guy, Justin Ross. Clemson can be in that argument, Dane, for wide receiver U. They've had DeAndre Hopkins, Sammy Watkins. They've had Hunter Renfrow recently. True. Those are some of the top guys. And then some guys that were on there for a while but kind of fell off lately is Mike Williams, Martavius Bryant. Those guys, they show signs and flashes. I think Justin Ross, we've seen it a couple of times the last few years in big games where, you know, he's a big playmaking type receiver. Oh, yeah. He lost Trevor Lawrence, but he has DJ Uiagalelei there in Clemson to still throw him the rock. I think he'll be – I don't know. Well, I think he'll work his way up to a first-round pick this year. This past season, we did see a plethora of receivers taken, but there'll never not be – to me, I feel like receivers are a position that always get selected high and early. And if he can show throughout the season, that he could be a consistent target catching tough passes over the middle and, you know, leading Clemson to the playoffs once again, I'm sure his draft stock will rise high. So my first guy, Dane, is Justin Ross out of Clemson. Who you got next?
Well, hailing all the way from the wide receiver university, amongst other amazing superlatives. Garrett Wilson from the Ohio State University. I'll say that again. So it was a very tough decision for me to make. But at the end of the day, I had to go with a Texas native. With Wilson is either, you know, Wilson or Chris Olave, because, you know, we have those type of options about first round talent on that roster. You know, such a deep class of receivers that we have this year as well. The Ohio State University. So
no, I said we.
Oh, I thought you said the. My bad. Yeah, you're right. You do. We. what you want in your ideal wide receiver is not only speed, that getaway speed, but that get started speed, and of course that getting in and out of the breaks, on top of having some really soft hands and giving the quarterback a nice window or opportunity to get the ball to them in several occasions, red zone, first down, or just genuine, you know, guys that make people miss. So we have no shortage of that in this upcoming draft, but more if you're looking for someone that brings a little bit of both to the table, they can route you up as well as catch the ball at his high points. And then, of course, just a route technician. Look no further than my boy, Garrett Wilson. So we'll get to see him, plenty of him, this upcoming school year. Very, very, very excited. Didn't think I would ever be this excited about a product coming out of Lake Travis, but that's a story for another day. So,
Lake Travis, yeah. Cavaliers. My second guy, Dane, is going to be Jaden Daniels, quarterback out of Arizona State. Last year, Pac-12 season was cut short because of COVID, so they had play only like maybe 5 games, maybe tops, unless you went to the Pac-12 championship game. But his freshman year, he put up 2,900 yards passing, 17 touchdowns, only turned it over 2 times in the air. I think in the Pac-12 where there's not really a dominant team over there, you know, everybody sees the Pac-12 as like the bottom of the Power 5 conferences. Jaden Daniels is one of those players that I've actually watched a couple of his games, and he's like what the scouts love about quarterbacks as far as being tall. He's 6'3", probably could put more pounds on him going into the league. Right now, he's only like 185. Next year, he's going in as a junior next year. So he probably could stay another year. But I think if he puts up big numbers having a full season, right, he may decide to declare for the draft. And, you know, especially if he sees the dollar bills and if they're winning ball games and competing for a Pac-12 championship, you know, he could sign that agent and he could be hearing his name called come draft day. But I like the kid. He's 6'3". He's not really known to be a, you know, dual threat kind of guy, but he can get out of the pocket and make plays when need be. But yeah, if you guys haven't heard of him, check him out, Jaden Daniels out of Arizona State.
That's how I know you're offensive minded. My guy went and picked 2 offensive players. Didn't even worry about defense.
Thought about it, bro, but I was just like, man. I knew you were going to say something about that. I was like, man, I'm just going, offense wins games.
God, nitpick anything is right, especially if you're a Cowboys fan. If you want to win championships, the Cowboys fan is not for you, because all we do is sell tickets. Tickets and merch.
It's time for General Homeboy.
And that's your General Homeboy segment sponsored by nobody. did you happen to catch DK Metcalf this weekend, my guy?
Yes, I did. As many Texans were in the track and field spirit, I did catch it. I don't think I was surprised. He ran faster than I thought he was going to run, I'm not going to lie, but he, you know, let it be a testament that to people who still don't understanding or firmly grasp the concept, football speed and track speed are two totally different things. Deontay, we found this out the hard way in high school.
What you mean, we? I hear Langston laughing too.
Oh, that was the my bad. That was my ringtone. Oh, I was like, wait a minute, where is he in? Like, you're supposed to be sweet.
I'm leaving that in too.
My eyes got. I was like, oh man. okay.
Oh, but yeah, for everyone that doesn't know, DK Metcalf from the Seahawks. Yeah. He ran trying to qualify for the 2020 it is a 2020 Olympics, but it's in 2021 because of the delay. Ran a 10:36 in the 100 meters, and he finished.
It's fast.
Most definitely.
Very fast.
Most definitely. You know, everybody, he went viral off of chasing down that guy on the interception last year, and you know, kind of got hype around it. So he didn't quite make it, but man, 10:36 is fast. And I think DeMonric or Brody had mentioned like that kind of size he has on him, moving that fast is incredible.
Yeah. So
just 6'4", 235. That's crazy.
Just to put it in perspective, everybody that he was running against everybody that he was running against probably has trained their entire life run that particular race. They knew that was their race when they were in high school, right? I don't think DK had a background or a background as a track and field sprinter in high school, but he does have speed and possess speed much faster than anybody that I know. However, a lot of the guys that he was running with were professional sprinters, and it's not. It just goes to show that. No, it's not a slap in the face to, you know, sprinters and Olympic qualifiers. However, it is just to show the general public that you think this is fast. Wait till you see this guy that weighs, you know, 165 pounds and is 6'1" and has been training to run the same exact 100 meters thousands and thousands of times a year. So shout out to DK Metcalf. And hopefully it inspires people to continue to play multiple sports, because honestly, the sky's the limit, you know. One day, one day you're, you know, an Olympic athlete and you're like, maybe I can go play football. Maybe we'll see that. That'd be pretty cool. That'd be pretty dope. I think so. But how does that – did you get a chance to – I know that I was telling you that the entire state of Texas was kind of in the mood for watching some sprints. Because of course the Texas State Championships, they took place over the last week or so. And of course they wrapped up with the 1A and 6A, I believe, on Saturday. But of course there was some speed there as well. You get a chance to, or did you see anybody in the area or anybody in your area that went to state or anything like that?
The only ones I really saw and kept up with, I didn't keep up with most of the athletes, was our former coach, Coach Daniels. He's coaching at Shoemaker High School in Killeen. His guys finished third in the 4x1.
4x1? Yeah.
Yeah, 4x1 relay. So they got the bronze. So that's pretty dang impressive because, you know, Texas and, I mean, we always have those arguments about Texas and
Georgia,
exactly. Out of those athletes, high school athletes, which, you know, which are not even the most athletic, but the most fast.
4x1. My bad. 4x2.
Oh, Shumari won 4x2.
Yeah, they got third place. 4x2.
Okay. 4x2.
My bad.
Yeah, man. So, kind of like what you were saying, man, like, you see it all the time with athletes like going on on a professional level. Like most of them were like dual sport athletes, basketball, track, football. Of course, the linemen, I mean, they participated in track too on the big events. And when I mean big, I mean the field events.
You call them boys fat.
But that's when I was coaching, we used to call them big, like the big VIG events. But anyway.
Right.
yeah, man. So what do you have any like favorite dual threat athletes that maybe played in the league? Maybe Dion that, you know, played baseball, football, any guys that come to mind for you?
For me, right off the top, only because of knowing and learning about him as a kid, and then of course not realizing how amazing he was until I got older, putting it in completely complete perspective, Bo Jackson. I wish when I was younger I understood why he was such a big deal, but of course didn't realize that until I got older. But probably Bo Jackson and the Dallas Cowboy, Bully Bob Hayes. Outside of that, those are the only two guys. Of course, Bully Bob Hayes, I'm inclined to believe as many as others are. I believe he's credited for the reason behind the position of safety in football because he's so fast. But of course, he was an Olympic athlete. He got a gold in the 100, if I'm not mistaken. And of course, he was a wide receiver. But I mean, they used him in so many different ways on offense, but mainly he was a wide receiver. He really wasn't anyone as capable of shutting him down or capable of keeping up with him, but that's Olympic speed. And of course, Bo Jackson. If you don't know anything about Bo Jackson, I recommend watching 30 for 30 that they did on him some time ago. Yeah.
Wasn't it called Bo Knows?
Was it Bo Knows? Yeah. You don't know Bo or something like, I can't remember, but it was Bo Jackson. Okay.
Yeah, that one sounds right too.
That's phenomenal. who you got?
Well, mine. This my answer. I'm kind of cheating because he did not play. He wasn't an Olympic sprinter, but he could have been one. I'm going with my uncle, man. He played in the league. Yeah, he played in the league from like 82 to 88, and he played for the Packers and Jets. But before that, he in 1982, I believe, he had like the second fastest 200 meter time in the world. So if he wanted to, he could probably go do both. Yeah. But, football just was the logical choice at that point in time. But yeah, man, look up my uncle. I probably should get him on the podcast for sure. But I talked to him when I worked for Sikkim 365. He came on the show there and talked about this particular story. And I'm going to share it here because it's pretty funny. I don't even think I told you this, Dane. But back when they had like, you know how now they do the Pro Bowl events, like the different games and stuff. Yeah. Back in his time, they had the NFL fastest man competition.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, when D'Angelo Hall was in it at one point.
Yeah. So this particular one, I don't know who else was in the competition, but it came down to my uncle and Daryl Green from the Redskins. And Daryl Green was fast. Y'all know Daryl Green. He was fast as hell. And so it's on YouTube, and I pulled it up a while ago, but they ran a 100 meter sprint, and it came down to like a photo finish, and my uncle thought he won. And if you look at the tape, it shows like my uncle put his head down before and crossed, but they gave it to Daryl Green, the world's fastest man competition, or like NFL's fastest man, which they should bring that back. That sounds cool as hell. But yeah,
that'd probably be
my pick.
That'd be dope. I think it would garner more interest in whatever product it is they put out on the field, which I understand.
And then I feel like players nowadays, like they pull a muscle just stretching or something.
But you know how you whole
controversy.
That? You put it somewhere in their contract or incentivize it much more. You want to have them risking hamstrings out there. How about you up that ante about that price? Because there is money. We know there's money in the league. Let's not play games here. But anyways, good choice. And I did not know that story. Learn something new about the Emsons every day.
Shout out Uncle Phil. some quick hits before we get to our nerdy news segment. Dane, on Wednesday, NFL schedule releases. You know, they always get all hyped in the media about the schedule, who plays, who win.
Well, give us some ugly ass Giants again.
Yeah. Y'all probably playing the Giants week one Monday night, like or Thursday. Y'all always play the Giants week one for some reason, man. I don't know why they do y'all
like that. Spots too. I'm like, come on, bro.
It's usually like the Sunday night game on week one.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, bro.
Yeah. So schedule releases on Wednesday. Then today, Urban Meyer signed Timothy Tebow for tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars, man. And before I get to you, Dane, because that face is priceless. Jalen Rose, do you follow Jalen Rose on Twitter?
I believe I do.
He has his hashtag GBTW. If y'all don't know what GBTW is, just look it up. And that's all I have to say about this particular situation. I I don't think Dane has anything to say about this situation. Yeah, I think the silence says it all. All right, so Tim Tebow signs with the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll see how long he stays there. And that is your quick hits. Now on to...
What's that sound?
I feel like I was going to be skateboarding.
Once again, Keith coming through with our segment music. That's the Nerdy News segment. Thank you, Keith, once again. Keith. Friend of the show. Brother, friend. Appreciate you so much.
Man of many talents.
Man of many talents.
We'll say it again.
Nerdy news segment. Dane, Cinemark signs new theatrical deals with 5 major studios. This is coming from Variety. It says Cinemark has reached new agreements with the 5 major studios that could help formalize a shorter theatrical window. Terms of the deal not disclosed, but it comes as COVID-19 has reshaped the amount of time that films show exclusively on the big screen before making their home entertainment debuts. The company signed a deal with Universal in November that enables them to put new movies on premium video on demand platforms 17 days after they open in theaters. Films that generate at least $50 million on opening weekend ticket sales, however, must play exclusively in theaters for 31 days or 5 full weekends. So this new deal is agreements with Warner Brothers, Walt Disney Company, Paramount Pictures, and Sony. So the big guns. So basically sounds like, you know, how we used to always have to wait, you know, months before it got to DVD, or now everything is on demand. It seems like most of the big time studios are cutting it down, significantly. I can't see in this article a specific time frame. I don't know if it's similar to the 17-day deal that Universal did, but I kind of like it because I never understood back in the day why that window was so long for a movie to go to DVD. But it seems like now with everything even more dependent on streaming and all the digital streaming apps and all that, all of those kind of things, that a lot of people aren't ready to go fully into a theater yet with, you know, COVID-19 still causing some issues here and there. But what you think about it, bro?
I mean, me personally, if I think a movie's good, if I think the trailer's good, I'm going to watch it regardless of where it's going to be at. That's all I'm going to say. Obviously, safely, I haven't been to the movies. I haven't been to a movie theater since January of 2020. That was 2 months before everything.
You remember what you saw?
I believe it was Bad Boys. Maybe it was February. I can't remember. January, February, one or two. I think it was Bad Boys. I want to say it was Bad Boys. Was it Bad Boys? I think it was Bad Boys. I can't remember. Maybe all these years are running together now. I don't remember.
I know. I went to see Tenet when theaters opened back up here in Waco. Maybe, I don't know, whatever month Tenet came out this year.
I got,
what was that?
It's funny that you say that.
That was in 2020. That was in 2020.
I have Tenet right here.
Oh, yes.
Tenet. Fantastic movie. Came across a really... Oh, I ain't going to talk about it here because it's not the place, not the time and the place to talk about Tenet spoilers. But yeah, it was Bad Boys. It was Bad Boys.
Bad Boys?
Yeah. It came out January 17th, and I think we seen it the week after my birthday or something like that. Can't remember.
Yeah.
I needed to see that because, I mean, we grew up on that.
Bad Boys.
And Martin Lawrence, Mike Lowry.
Mike Lowry. This next one, Dane, I know after all the struggles you had getting a PlayStation 5, so it comes as no surprise. Sony now expecting PS5 shortages to continue into next year. This is coming from IGN. It sounds as though PS5 supplies will continue to be limited into 2022. It was never going to be easy launching a new console in the middle of a pandemic worldwide, but Bloomberg now reports that Sony has spoken to a group of analysts about the supply constraint issues affecting PlayStation 5 supplies, reportedly warning that shortages will continue into 2022. I don't think demand is calming down this year, and if we secure a lot more devices and produce many more units of the PlayStation 5 next year, our supply won't be able to catch up with the demand. Coming from Sony. I'm not very familiar with how the production of this particular console does, but you would think maybe, like, because things are kind of getting back to somewhat better, you would think, but this seems to say otherwise.
There's a particular chip. There's a particular chip, or if I'm not mistaken, that could be that shortage of that particular chip might be the cause of this PS5 production. The difficulty in the production of PS5 is because of this particular chip. The shortage, of course, could be affected by, or it could be caused by, data mining, or just because of the pandemic. And then, of course, so many other industries rely on these particular chips or the manufacturers of these particular chips. So that has an effect on it. It's all economics, which is an amazing thing when you think about wanting to go to the store and buying a simple video game console, same to what we've been doing, you know, most of our lives. I think it's tough. Anybody who was involved with it, anybody who makes a living off of the process of PS5s, or anybody who just, you know, needs the PS5 for their leisure, I think it's tough. And I know we're talking about video games here, but we're speaking in the middle of a pandemic. One of the things that helps a lot of us get by is entertainment, especially when we're confined to spaces without having without contact or limited contact with other human beings, is watching TV, watching movies, reading books, and playing video games. And of course, the video gaming audience, the general demographics of the video game audience, has expanded monumentally. So, you know, we have plenty of women that are playing video games more than there were in the past, which is awesome. I didn't know that there was such a thing as women not playing video games, because my household, my sisters just played video games too. So I just thought it was normal to everybody mm-hmm. play video games. So I got older and realized, wait, you don't play video games? But anyway. It's a way of life, and yeah, it is a hobby now for many of us.
Streamers that make money for a living, right?
I didn't think of that. You're absolutely right.
Right there.
People that use it as, you know, a form of congregating or socializing, or are just, you know, fellowship. So, you know, So we'll
like,
see,
you know, it's the best part of playing. Like when I had the PlayStation 5, it was fun having it, but it's not as much fun as playing with you and my brother and all of our other friends, you know, that play the game.
So. For a minute too.
Yeah, and it's like that Will Smith meme from the last episode, Fresh Prince, had my controller just looking around. It's just, you know, it's nice, but dang, I'm the only one in here. But I mean, hopefully they could, I mean, the shortages, he's saying the shortages continue, but hopefully they can somehow figure a way to produce more and get it out there to people that want it, because, you know,
people want to play. The streets need it, man.
Yeah, for sure. But other than that, man, episode 44 of the duo.
Extra 100 bucks in my pocket. Maybe need some new shoes. Nah, I'm playing.
Good episode, my guy. If you want to help us out once again, give us a 5-star review on Apple, a great rating, or should I say a 5-star rating and a review on Apple. It'd really help us out.
Let me add something to that. If you don't want to give us a 5-star rating, or if you don't feel that we deserve a 5-star rating, do us another favor. Send us a message. Send us some comments. Let us know. Give us some feedback, what we can do to get to that 5-star. And then
maybe in a few months we make those, you know, we take those suggestions, take them to heart, and we get a little think tank going. Get a little think tank. We make some, you know, corrections, some modifications, if you will. And a few months down the road, then maybe you listen to us like, you know what, these guys, they're on the way. Maybe they listen to the feedback. Maybe they're worth a 5-star now. How about that? Maybe that's we make that a deal. How about that? And if you still don't like it, hit up Deontay's PayPal or his Cash App. He'll send you a dollar.
Yeah. Give you one air on the way out. Appreciate you guys listening to episode 44 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. You can listen to this episode and all of our episodes on all digital streaming platforms, as well as our website, www.theduosportsandstuffpodcast.com. We are out.